When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Under the category of nice work if you can get it, what a job. This guy gets to just travel around the country playing video games.
It's all right.
Now, did you go to college?
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as per usual...
Oh no, he's throwing me off. Ben Vanel here. For those watching on video, I'm modelling the new range of bootleg Clifton Hill McDonald's merch.
Mm-hmm.
Courtesy of one Tommy Dasilo.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Knox, you're also here.
I'm here. I'm modeling Johnny Big, the clothing company that doesn't care how it sounds for plus side in this individual.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Fashionable. Yeah, it should be.
Just Johnny's. Just Johnny's with a possessive apostrophe rather than like boom, 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 the shop.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, plus size women's brands will, with their naming, keep it a bit vague, a bit ambiguous.
Sure.
But
not
then
always.
The male ones will just be like Fat Simons.
There was one that changed its name, I think, to just Big City or something.
It was Big City Chic. And I believe it changed to City Chic.
Right.
They just meant the big city. They didn't mean you're fat and in the city, right? They just meant it's a big, the hustle and butt.
I love that HBO show, Fat and in the City.
Yeah, I hate the way they name. But the clothes are fine. Some of them have fallen apart. But
nice cord-
they know I don't have a ton of options.
Is that a fine corduroy?
It's an okay corduroy.
You couldn't tell probably from the camera. It's so, it's narrow strips of corduroy.
Yeah, you could get lost in there.
You can get my McDonald's merch line on vanillamart.shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you guys this off air. I won't go into the full details, but something happened in the street yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had to give a statement to the police.
Mm.
And as that happened, I was carrying a big box of my counterfeit bootleg McDonald's merch. And I was just like, imagine if this was the thing that got me put away. Like, I'm giving a statement about an unrelated thing that I witnessed. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, hey, what's that?
Yeah. It's bold of you to even call it McDonald's on here. I'm surprised you just call it WickDonald's or McDonald's.
Tom Donald's.
Tom Donald's.
Yeah.
That clown, Tommy McDonald. He's got so it's still called McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
But just the clown is named Tommy.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, I guess maybe I'm feeling a bit confident that if it did make it to court, even though I'm doing something I absolutely should not do, that I would get off scot-free.
And you know what? You would at least be the little guy.
Yes.
In this situation, whereas you might have seen, and we've talked about this fucking Microsoft Activision thing, well, for as long as it's been going on for, but...
No, we were talking about it before it even started.
We predicted it.
We'd heard some rumblings.
We dobbed on them.
Yeah.
This is somebody who has heard rumors that an earthquake's coming.
Okay.
I've heard some rumblings.
Yes.
An earthquake was just caused by how much people were laughing at that.
Getting a lot more rumblings here in Melbourne lately.
I felt one of them.
Really?
I'm furious about it. There's been like four earthquakes recently and I've genuinely not been able to detect. I'm like the opposite of a cow. I'm standing up before rain, unaware.
I felt all of them. One of them was like 2 a.m. and I was just like playing, you know, Marvel Snap or probably Baldur's Gate, honestly. I've been really leaning into that one lately and was like, is something wrong with my table?
Yeah.
Like every single time it's been like, oh, I've got to fix the... Oh, no.
Well, there was that one in lockdown that was nice because it was like, it felt like everyone felt it.
Everyone in the entire city of Melbourne.
Anyone who counted.
Everyone in my street, we all like went out into the street to see what was happening.
Same.
It was like, oh, this is nice.
So that's what happened after I didn't know there was an earthquake. So I saw a bunch of people come out of their houses and start looking up at the buildings and shit. And it was really peculiar.
God, we getting invaded by aliens?
I was going to a doctor's office and I walked in and like the picture frames were all askew and shit. And I was like, I don't know about this doctor.
You weren't getting checked for Parkinson's, were you? Because that could have offset,
you know? Yeah, just, it's cured. I'm completely level. It was really annoying. But
it feels like they're happening, you know, once upon a time. It was like, oh, there's been one for the first time in 10 years. And now there's like four a year.
They found a new fault because of it. Fucking picky earthquake people. Always picking things apart. So the FTC in the USA is they're done with the first part of that. There is an appeal in now on behalf of the losers in this case, which were the FTC.
Yes,
so the judge found
body.
In favor of Microsoft that basically the FTC's complaint is that this is them sort of buying out the competition, and the judge has decided that that is not the case based on them saying, we're still going to put Call of Duty on everything. We've worked out a deal to have it on the Switch, and so just kind of based on that evidence that they presented, the judge is like, look, I have to say that from what they've said, that they're not going to be, you know, that's not going to be unfair competition.
As people in courthouses keep screaming at me before escorting me out, I'm not a lawyer, but the apparently problem has been that the FTC's lawyers didn't seem to really know what they were talking about sometimes.
That's like, weirdly been a real theme of this case of like anyone who's like a professional adult doesn't know anything about games.
And like the judge had to explain to them like how Game Pass worked at one point or like Phil Spencer did as well while he was like base level stuff around this like that. And then part of the problem was that they kind of built their whole argument around that it would be bad for Sony rather than it would be
just
bad
generally.
For consumers.
It's a bad precedent down the line.
Right.
It's probably the thing to argue. Because, that happens a lot in court cases, right, is that you're not like you're meant to be ruling based on like what you've been presented in the room. So it's not just about like the wider implications that you happen to know of or the like common sense that you can put together if you're on a jury.
Right.
It's what they presented to you in the room. That's all you're allowed meant to really factor into your decision making.
If they don't make the argument, even if it exists, you shouldn't consider it.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's how it works.
And you're only allowed to argue the thing that's like the headline contention of the case. Right.
Which very much should be around this stuff that it will impact people.
Yes.
Rather than Sony. But apparently, and again, I'm not across the ones and zeros of it, but that is the error that they were making.
And it does seem like such an easy fix for then Microsoft to be able to go, oh, we'll put it on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they can just turn around and go, they probably weren't ever going to.
Yeah.
But if it gets them off the hook here, like, oh, well, whatever. I mean, we own them, so we'll still get some money for it.
We'll keep putting it on PlayStation when we buy Sony. I mean, anyway. and so the other, it's in several courts, but like the UK, the CMA is the one there, the Consumer Something Something.
Markets Authority. Country Music Association also.
They're weighing in.
this has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
All right, see you later. But we don't like it. That's how I assume the lawyers there talk. Real foghorn leg.
Yeah, of course.
Guys. I do declare.
Well, they'd be good for arguing this kind of stuff because they're always bent out of shape about what is and is not country music.
Ah, yes.
You know, they're always having to like reassess the genre.
Yeah.
Your Honor. That they actually would be a good legal team to have.
Mm. Your Honor, I put it to the court, the blue jeans pickup truck Jack Daniels.
The star witness, Lil Nas X, the man who crossed boundaries.
Yeah.
So they are still doing it, but they've are in more negotiation with Microsoft now.
Yeah, they've agreed to a divestiture.
What the inside talk appears to be, which is when you talk but in a quiet voice, being respectful of others, the inside word is that the main argument that the CMA is making is that Microsoft will have a monopoly on cloud-based games.
Which, that's been that case from the start, which is an odd distinction.
And yet not the FTC's one. So the rumor is that Microsoft would go like, okay, we won't do xCloud in the UK.
Right.
See ya. Yeah. That's fine. I don't even know, because I forgot kind of that that was very regional and that Australia didn't have it for a while. Mm-hmm. And maybe the UK doesn't have it right now. I don't know. That will affect your Starfield journey.
Not when if I you're use in the UK, VPN.
Possibly. God. Yeah, I wonder how a VPN would go with that. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that is looking like it's making forward progress in Microsoft's favor over there too.
Mm.
I can't wait to see the bad movie that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg put together about
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah. Is that Console Wars? Because I've been reading the book, Console Wars, that is has a foreword by them. And it's, you know, you rarely see this on books, but it's like, soon to be a major motion picture. You know, you feel like you have the like original copy of the book, then you've got the copy after the movie's come out where the cover of the book is now just the poster of the movie.
Right, Sam Neill's on it now.
Yeah, but it's like this edition's printed in 2016 and it's like soon to be a motion picture. Still hasn't materialized. I thought I read at some point that it fell over, like it something
no idea.
Collapsed with it.
No,
I don't
no
know.
Idea what's going on
they're,
with that.
They're busy making The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And
who are in Call of Duty now.
Yeah, I saw
that. They're adding
Black Noir's in it.
Black Noir, Homelander, and Starlight. You can play as them in Warzone, and like there's a. I think it's in sort of special modes, but I've seen people complain that it's too all over it, and that you take the Chemical V stuff or whatever to give you powers in the game.
Compound V.
Sorry,
that's been delayed. Season 4 of The Boys
because of the writers' strike.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mm. But yeah, it's funny that like the FTC lawyers made the same mistake as like internet commenters of like making it about console wars rather than like
anti-competitive
and the consumer.
Yeah.
I hate that word, but the consumer
prosumer.
At the end of the day, that's better.
yeah.
Expensive, gullible consumer. Yeah, it's ongoing. They've got until like Monday at midnight or something American time to is like the deadline for when either of
they
them
turn back
now...
into a pumpkin.
yeah.
yeah.
They go back to their cruel step auntie, which would for Microsoft be, I guess, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
I guess that's their birth.
Yeah. It is so funny seeing just like, yeah, anytime a case is won by one side and just seeing Phil Spencer, I was saying this to you guys before, like tweeting like, this is a great day and, you know, and you're
justice.
Looking at it, it's like you're OJ. Like you've gotten off on this thing that's like pretty much everyone looking at it is like, this is bad.
Yeah.
We sort of don't, even if you're a fan of the company, it's like down the line, this is just bad for all things. If this is allowed to happen, it sets a bad precedent.
I feel like
don't
I'm
be
a bit
jumping for joy.
Cynical or something, thinking that like the horse has already bolted with the like massive conglomerate stuff.
True.
Especially around media. But then like, you know, you're huge. Viacom, whatever, massive GE companies.
Coca-Cola
that just
owns every drink and
just
all of that.
Everything you touch is in some way one of four bloody lizards own it. but so I'm
I agree, but I also think if there's a chance to stand up to it, then bloody give it a go.
Yeah, I'm just not surprised.
No,
I guess.
No, neither.
And
am
so
I.
Yeah, there's an appeal, and I don't know if it'll what'll go up. But anyway,
yeah.
Xbox.
I wonder where we're gonna see the first like the in-depth tell-all version of this. Whether it'll be Netflix talking head doco, as you said, Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg adaptation. Or I wonder if our old friend Jason Schreck is putting quill to parchment as we speak.
He's got to have been tunneling under the courtroom to try and put a glass up to the floorboards to hear what's going on.
I think that's my preferred media adaptation
of,
is
Schreck
book, Matt Johnson documentary style comedy.
Sure. Okay.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Glenn Howerton.
Yeah.
Who would you cast as Phil Spencer? The guy who played the like secret agent in the Marvel movies, Coulson. Do you remember his face in Avengers?
Vaguely,
he's like
yeah.
the bloke. He looks a bit like him.
Okay,
so that's enough for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Glenn Howerton can play like Master Chief.
Yeah. Get The Rock in it because he was like a spruiker of the original Xbox. They hired him for that.
Yes.
Give him a prominent role.
Yep.
But and then get someone else to play The Rock.
Exactly. Yeah. Who plays Young Rock?
Steve Ballmer. So, it's all ongoing, but I don't know. It's so interesting watching this stuff to me. Hopefully to other people too.
Yeah.
And just the cherry on top of like an already like pretty weird year for them with their other, like that before Starfield comes out, their big ace up the sleeve being Redfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've already forgotten the name.
Yeah, yeah.
Red Dead Redemption
collapsing
3?
And then meanwhile this is going on like... Yeah. They need this game to be good.
The one little wrinkle is that the judge, his son works for Microsoft.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say that. Yeah, there wasn't a conflict of interest, they decided, because he works for some part of broader Microsoft rather than the Xbox part.
Which is... Yeah, mind-blowing. Yeah. Like, still, hey, guess what there's a lot of out there? Judges.
Like, yeah.
It's not like there's one and it's like, well, it's not ideal, but hey, what else are we going to do? But the case has to go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this... I would assume the way this works, and again, I think it's smart to assume things without checking about legal processes.
Yeah.
But that a judge gets assigned, and if you can't prove that they shouldn't be assigned, then they just are.
Sure.
Yeah, I think
so. I suppose.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a case of like literally every other judge where this trial was happening. San Francisco? Is that what I read?
They all work for video game companies.
So it's like every judge has a son who works at Microsoft. And they're all just like a little bit closer to the games division.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that this guy has the son who was like... the furthest away. Yeah. Still not ideal, but
he's working on like the Zune reboot. So like he barely works for anyone, let alone Microsoft.
Maybe every other judge was busy that day. It's like,
there can't be that many.
I'm going
court
fishing.
Cases.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what any of this is. And I really don't feel I can't imagine anything more boring than sitting in a room and having this explained to me.
My wig is at the cleaners, I can't come in until that's done.
It would
It'll
make
take
sense
3 months.
If the rest of them were like, "What's a Nintendo's?" But this judge was like, "Well, my son works at Microsoft, so I know what Game Pass is."
I suppose so. I think he just learned it from this case stuff, though, and like because they had to explain some stuff to him, and it sounded like he maybe didn't understand some bit. So it just seems like the whole thing,
which
is
nuts. It's nuts that there's not like a more specialized sort of division. Like imagine being a judge and it's like, okay, so just before the trial starts, we do need to let you know. So a murder, right? So that's when a person decides to end another person's life, and him being like,
My son works for a knife company. Is that going to come into this?
No, that's fine.
He works in a kitchen supply store, so people could have gotten it from there, I guess.
Big knives behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
Get a game judge. Have a specific game judge.
Yeah, or just properly sit him down and teach him about it separately, independently.
The judge did some reading, I guess. I don't know.
But again, I guess it does come down to that thing of, when you're deliberating this, you are going on how it's been presented in the room.
So
the whole thing should be that you do it. Like, if you're bringing too much prior knowledge to it, that's probably bad,
True. You don't expect a jury to know the ins and outs of, you know,
you don't want them to, right?
Know the person who's accused.
That's my friend, so I'm perfect for this jury.
Yeah, I know him better than anyone. Yeah. So who better to deliberate than me on whether or not he would have done it? Well, and I say, yes, he did.
Speaking of judges who can lock people up, a game series that's been locked up in obscurity for a long time that I didn't even see this, but you guys said that they're bringing back Gex.
Yeah.
Gex is back.
The Gex trilogy.
I didn't even know there was a trilogy, to be honest. I saw the ad for this.
Gex.
Okay.
Gex 2, Enter the Gecko. Gex 3D.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were all 3D.
I think they are, you might be right that that's not the name of the third one.
Secret
Agent Gex?
No, 3D does sound right. 3D does sound right, though.
Maybe 3D was, it was a joke title because they have all been 3D.
Maybe.
Because that was his thing, right? He was a funny little fella.
He was the wacky guy. Mm. He loved TV.
Yeah.
So maybe Gex coming back now has to love the internet. He's like a meme lizard.
He's friends with Pepe, yeah.
I do love...
I don't want him to be like that.
We talk about the whole, like, the overdone, like, shared universe thing is a bit weak. But I would love to see, some kind of coming together of your failed late 90s mascots. Your shovelware mascots, your Gex, your Glover, your...
Croc.
Croc's there, the bee... From that B game.
Buck Bumble. Yeah, even going back
a
little further,
he's the
Aero the Acrobat. Like all these guys, all these attempts at a new Sonic and a
Vex.
New Mario.
get Vex from later on, two X's.
Who was Vex?
He was a fucking guy.
Okay.
He was Vex and he ran around and he had...
That's all I need to hear.
I think he had big fists.
Oh.
Or like kind of like knuckles.
What, he was just a guy? Oh, yeah. He wasn't some kind
of... No, he was like a little elf guy.
Right.
I think. Voodoo Vince.
Yeah?
Get the whole gang together. Blinks the Time Sweeper.
I think we've come up with a premium podcast episode idea.
Yeah. All of them together in the one game. You know,
fighting the mid to late 2000s,
yeah,
as a collective enemy when everyone goes like, "You're shit."
Or this, it's Smash Brothers. I mean, I guess there's been a million Smash Brothers clones, but we're making a purposefully bad one.
Why is he back? Did they show anything about this? What?
It's just a re-release, right?
Limited run games. You know that company.
Right, they had like a show the other day.
Oh right,
I'm pretty sure, and they announced like a bunch of physical releases,
including Tomba, the PlayStation 1 platformer.
He's in there for sure.
Yeah. You know what I think in this game? Mm. You know who I think the big ultimate baddie is?
Who?
It's either Mario or Sonic.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Okay.
So
yeah.
It's like he's
They're
up in his
They're both trying
little...
to piss on you the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're up in the ivory tower.
Yeah.
And you switching between all these different characters. You're trying to storm the gates.
I like it.
Get in there and overthrow them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
but
you
they're
will
all
be
like
the king of the 90s.
Expendables style. They've all continued to age.
Yeah.
So they're all like the old version. Like Glover is like kind of got a couple holes in him and whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
He doesn't kind of move so well anymore. He's got a bit of arthritis and whatever ghost hand is inside of that glove.
Gex's tail has fallen off.
Let's not say any more and file this away for some banking that we may need to do in the future.
Yes, yes.
Going to the bank and being like, have you heard of Gex?
No.
I would like to deposit some money.
What about Glover?
Yeah,
have you heard of him?
So yeah, this is not like a remake. It's just like a repackaging, I feel like.
Right.
But this could be, because that's how they... When they did that new Crash Bandicoot, that started with, hey, we're re-releasing, we've, you know, remastered all the old ones and they're on Switch and PlayStation 4 now.
Again, not that I actually saw it, but I wouldn't expect them to be to the extent that those
Crash
Bandicoots
not
and stuff. Because limited run games as well, their thing is to put out.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting him back into the public conscience could lead to, them going, it's time to give him a new game.
Yeah.
It's how every other thing in media is made. It has to be pre-existing, so...
I know, they're really scraping the... I guess it's not a reboot, but by the time you get to Gex, it's like, well, I just stopped making games.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have any more.
Gex is one of those, like, cultural touchstones where most people that have an interest in video games would know it as a reference point.
Mm.
And I reckon the percentage of people that actually engaged with it back in the day is quite low.
Yes. It's so representative of that, like... hyper 90s, like anything's possible, we can make everyone's got an attitude like that, like listening to the Free Radicals.
Yeah,
it's all that same sort of like, we're all gonna live forever.
Oh, I've thought of another character that needs to be in our game.
Okay.
James Pond.
Oh,
remember him?
Yes, fantastic.
The little spy fish.
Yes.
Yeah,
again,
James
hold
Pond,
off.
We've got a mission for you. Oh wait, you'd have to get out of the water for this. Never mind. Okay.
There's something about James Pond that I'm obsessed with, because I vividly remember seeing that on the shelves, being 8, you have like no taste, you're not discerning in any way, but still being like, this looks fucking shit.
Yeah.
What is this?
The first time you realize that your tastes are not aligned with something.
Do you know how bad the design of something has to be for an 8-year-old to be able to see through it as like, this is a ripoff. This is some lazy set. Oh, it's a fish that's dressed in a tuxedo and has a little gun.
Yeah.
Well done.
It wouldn't work. I'm sorry, but it wouldn't.
I can't remember what's about, but I do remember seeing that like a bunch of like 8 and 16-bit Jurassic Park games are one of their things they're putting out.
Yep.
There's some other stuff like that.
Mm. I think people really like those... the SNES and Mega Drive Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
I remember having one of them. It's hard to distinguish. I had two. They were all called Jurassic Park, so it's really difficult to figure out which one's which.
I think the Mega Drive one is 2D, is a side-scroller.
You play as Sam Neill or like a raptor or something.
It's a dinosaur. And then the SNES one is like top-down.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
you're like walking around the park with a rocket launcher.
Yeah, on the NES and the Game Boy, I think. I had the Game Boy one.
Right.
And I remember it having pretty good music and some Triceratops ran at you.
Dee-doo-dee, boop-boop.
No, all original.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It was like kind of more like action hero type of
yeah,
shit.
Right. Yeah. Getting John Williams on the chiptune machine.
Yeah.
Fuck,
I'd love
that. See, that would be...
Don't
that...
let him shuffle off before he's had a sit down in front of a Game Boy.
That's his retirement hobby. His chiptune music.
Yeah.
Love
See,
it.
That era of a licensed game would come out, or anything that came out across multiple consoles, everyone's getting a different version. That would be a good like saving... argument for Microsoft in this case.
Oh,
you know, if you just went, hey, we're going to keep like true blue Call of Duty for ourselves, we'll put it out on PlayStation, but it's a 2D platform. You know, if like, I would love to go back to that day of like every console gets a completely different version of the license. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can go back thanks to that limited run.
That limited run.
That limited run. What a racket those guys have. They get the license. They design a box, put a fucking poster in it. That's $80, thanks.
God,
Bob's your uncle.
We should start doing that.
Yeah.
We should look for some licenses that we can acquire.
Yeah, we can prove how difficult it is.
We should put a tier on Patreon where it's like, if we get to this much money per month, we'll use 1 month's takings to buy the cheapest license for a game we can find.
Get Limited Run to put all of our episodes on a Switch cartridge.
Oh, that's
good.
Or, we acquire Austin Powers Pinball and... full re-release. That could be good. We write a little thing
back
for
at the
it.
Bank going like, hey, remember I was talking about Gex? I actually need a huge loan.
Yeah.
Do you know Austin Powers and does he make you horny, baby?
Who? What company was that distributed through? A Warner Brothers or something?
I have
something?
A feeling like maybe THQ were the ones making Austin Powers games.
Okay.
Seems to ring a bell from
Let's
back in the
get
day.
In touch.
It would be fascinating to know what license... It just what a lot like what the lowest rung license costs you.
Yeah, like what is James Bond running for these days?
Exactly.
I wonder if that they do package some of them up, bundle them like band stocks.
Yeah,
where you I think have to get.
Oh yeah, you throw down $10,000 and you get
and people
a bunch
end
of
up
shit.
With total overdose for the Xbox and like they buy all those things because they actually wanted siphon filter or whatever.
Yeah.
You see that sometimes.
Well, let's look into it.
Okay.
Well, if I'm going to be going there making pitches to big companies, standing at the front of the group and you guys being like, you weren't there for the meetings. Why are you taking the lead? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
Also, my pants are down.
My pants are down, but they're not going to be looking there, or they might be
because
maybe I've groomed them with the products from Manscaped.
I hope you have groomed them with Manscaped because they're the best products available for men's personal grooming. They've recently released the Beard Hedger. I've used it on my beard. It's fucking sick.
All right.
I still haven't. I'm no fault of the hedger. Purely the fault of the cleanliness of the man.
Stop hedgering your bets, Adam.
Yes.
Stop hedgering your bets.
A beard... off. That's what you yell if you like Sailor Moon style transform into just being clean shaven. But you could be pretty well shaven with this thing. It's a good quality little package that you get as well. You get the hedger itself. How'd it feel to use?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, nice.
It's awesome. It has like a bunch of length settings by I think like half centimeter increments.
Yeah,
I did wonder because you've said many times that you use the lawnmower on your. You were using that on your face as a beard.
That's right.
So I wondered if you were going to get the beard trimmer and use that on your pubes.
I guess I still could.
That would be
if
funny
I never
if we
go
were
back.
Like, and guys, guess what? It also does great work on the dick region. It's not just for the face, folks.
They got your nose and your ears covered. They've got the what's it called?
The weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
Yep. The whippersnapper.
A whole bunch
I guess
of
it's
other
the
things.
The same thing, yeah.
If you head over to manscaped.com, you can have a look at what they've got. And if you use the code FILTHY, you get 20% off and free shipping.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody because we hacked into their servers
That's
to make
right.
this deal.
Yeah.
Not really. We're tell
the,
everyone.
We're the entity. That's how we're going to bring down the world.
Yeah.
By getting people
discount
cheap.
By discount.
Discount Manscaped items.
Yeah.
What have they got left? Because they've got the, you know, they love their gardening tool theme.
Yeah.
So they got the lawnmower. The weed whacker, the hedger.
Yeah.
As I've said to you guys, I don't think I've said this on the show, but I'm hanging out for them to make a like a hair, like a head trimmer. I think that's got to be the next thing they're working on in an R&D. And I'm thinking, what power tools? The Maybe. Leaf blower.
Yeah. Or they've just run out. They're like, you're bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shit cunt fucker.
The head trimmer. Like, they just don't give it a name.
They just, yeah, it's not worth
it. The hair clipper.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
they choose, you'll find out on manscaped.com and you use the code FILTHY to get 20% off.
I love that tease for like a news story that we just made up.
20% off for free shipping with the code FILTHY.
Yeah.
FILTHY.
Well, you know where, if you're doing your trimming, you know where the, well, the best place in the house to be doing that is? The bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Which right. also, as it happens, is one of the best places to go driving around in Mario Kart.
Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
Thank
the
you.
Switch is portable. You can sit there.
Yeah, okay.
Long enough to prolapse.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember hearing... Oh, yeah, no. Anyway,
no, go get, into it.
please.
Fully describe.
This is a brand new... So it's like, wave, what is it? The fifth wave.
This is yeah. wave five. This is the
God,
penultimate.
That's flashbacks to 2021. The oh, fifth God. Wave.
Is the toilet one brand new?
I think so, yeah.
Is this the first brand new one in these waves?
I don't know. I think...
Wasn't there a brand new one last
yeah,
time?
Yeah, there was a Yoshi's Island one. I think okay. what has been happening is like they'll launch one, it like debuts on the Switch and then it ends up on the mobile one.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know. I'm not engaging
They've
with
had
the
a bunch of the
know.
Tour ones show up in yeah. In these waves too, like the Sydney one was from there and a lot of those like location
yeah
ones.
Every wave has had I think like two location ones that are all right. pulled from tour, but yeah, I think this is a new one and yeah, similar to the Yoshi's Island one in the last one, it was I mean it was like announced in a Nintendo Direct as like, hey, check this out, here's the new course that's coming right. So new course.
This is like Micro Machines style, you're tiny in a huge bathroom.
Yeah. And level. It's cool. It's pretty detailed. There's All lots right. of nice little you know, things floating around in the bath, little kind of, you know, bath toy versions of little Mario characters and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got like good branching pathways where you can like, you know, if you get the right angle up off the dunny seat, you can be up on the like counter, like
yes.
driving it, all that kind of stuff. They've added Kamek.
Oh yeah.
The little wizard man.
Yep.
Petey Piranha.
Mm-hmm.
Great character.
Big,
sure.
big flower
big,
guy.
Yeah. Big piranha man.
Mm-hmm.
And Wiggler.
Nice.
Which Wiggler. I didn't do this yet, but there's also a Wiggler bike in the game.
Oh.
So I love
you can
the
have
idea.
Wiggler on Wiggler.
Wiggler on Wiggler. You
wow.
can have Wiggler driving around a Wiggler.
That's sick.
Yeah.
The Wiggler is like in the baby Batman cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh no, the Wiggler's back. We've got to get him.
Imagine watching like the F1 and there's like, what's his name? Ricardo just like in a big car that's shaped like his
oh,
face.
Oh, I yeah. love that.
Adventures of like Baron von Munchausen style.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wiggler riding Wiggler is like 2/3 of the human centipede. Centipede.
But it's yeah. like a vertical human centipede
yeah.
where everyone's just strapped to each other's heads having to walk around and like
yeah.
just keep their balance if you're on the bottom.
They got to wear a big trench coat, I guess.
And then what, I mean, like I a guess... bunch of other like old the old Mario Kart game levels.
Yeah, there's an Athens track from oh. Tour, and then yeah, there's like the Daisy cruise ship course from the GameCube one. Yeah, and like yeah, a bunch of the classic ones in there. I haven't done the Wiggler on Wiggler yet. I was
okay.
too excited to do Magic Koopa because I don't believe he's ever actually been in a Mario Kart yet. But real ones may remember back in the day when they were just like showing screenshots of Mario Kart 64, he was on the character select screen.
Oh, really?
And he never
oh.
made it into the game. He was replaced by Wario. And oh. I remember, like, that's kind of just always stuck in my head about just, like, the day where they were like, let's piss him off. Let's put Wario in there.
Yeah, like real Back to the Future style.
Yeah.
They filmed the whole 64.
And so yeah. there's something that really scratches that sort of obsessive part of my brain where I'm like, it's sick that he's finally in there.
Right.
I love that they've finally got him in there. So I've been playing as him. Cool to have some new characters in when I don't think, you know, they didn't really say at any point they were going to do that. I don't
yeah,
think anyone
yeah.
really expected them to be adding kind of new content in that way. And it would be cool if they added some more, like, cars and parts and stuff while they were at it. And, yeah, these tracks are fun, but playing it last night, it just really was driving home to me, like, my God, we're so ready for a new Mario Kart. Like,
they
it may be the one of the longest stretches of a Nintendo IP without any kind of announcement or tease of the next one coming out.
F-Zero is the one
F-Zero
people always...
F-Zero is just dead, but, like,
yeah.
for it to be as popular as it is and go this long without a, here's what the new thing we're working on is. But, man, I really hope that it's a bit of a shake-up. It'd be great if it's – I think people – the way that they're just putting all these old courses into this one and sort of making it like an ultimate version of Mario Kart up to this point seems to suggest what a lot of people think it's going to maybe just be more like a Smash Brothers-y kind of thing where they've already dabbled with having other characters in there where it's like, here's a Pikmin, you know, it's just like Nintendo Kart. It's like, here's a Pikmin track. Here's just every character has their own little thing.
I don't remember where I saw this, but...
Please go on.
Reports are in from somewhere that, yeah, they're in active development on 9.
Yeah.
And that it is like a shake-up was the word, I believe.
Right.
I'd love a little adventure mode, Diddy Kong Racing style kind of thing.
Mm. That'd be great, yeah.
Because as fun as a lot of these tracks are, they are like so far away from using the Mario universe in any, you know, meaningful way. That's why the Yoshi's Island track was so cool because it had all those little visual reference points and it had the music and it had all those little things. Like a lot of like just driving around Bangkok is cool if you've been there, but like I would much prefer it be a game where it's like, here's a Donkey Kong jungle track, here's a Pikmin track, here's an Animal Crossing track,
here's Hyrule
track.
Yeah.
And they've you know, chucking in Link and the Animal Crossing guys and whatever in 8, they've definitely move forward in that
Here's
direction.
Here's a Splatoon skyscraper that you're driving through. Like, just put all... I'd rather them put all that stuff in than it just be random, like, oh, here's just a fucking desert from somewhere.
Especially with Smash Brothers seemingly having an extended break.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they said Ultimate, like, we're done.
Yeah.
So...
it'll be Mario Kart 9 on the next console, right?
Yeah.
Probably, early. Potentially, early if not launch. Absolutely.
Maybe, I'd if they're in active development now, I guess I wouldn't expect it. Cause I'm thinking that that thing will come out next year, surely, right? The Switch 2.
Yeah, that's...
Probably
a
new Mario Kart the year after or something.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they go 1-2 first year. Mario
platformer. 1-2 Switch again.
Yeah.
Oh, 1-2-3 Switch. I'd play that.
Everybody else 1-2 Switch.
1-2 Switch 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think... So, yeah, we think Mario 3D platformer.
Mario Kart.
Metroid
Mario
Prime Kart. 4.
Yeah.
For the launch of that, I guess.
I mean, that's a good first year of a console.
Well, we've just made it up, so it would be, but...
If what we've come up with as the best case scenario happens, then call me crazy, but that would be good.
A best case scenario seemingly for a bunch of people. I saw a thing that Baldur's Gate 3 sales have surged. Partly because they've been talking about it, but the thing that I believe probably erroneously some people are attributing that to is that they've specifically outlined that you'll be able to fuck a bear in the game.
They released a trailer of it or a clip,
They had like some presentation.
It's real. This is a real thing.
It, putting out the clip is just like a funny step. Like, not just, don't take our word for it.
Yeah.
Here's a porno that we've made.
And it was shown in the context of a longer presentation, and they were specifically talking about the romance element of the game at that point. But it means that separate to that, there is now a clip of like this trailer for Baldur's Gate 3 that just makes it seem like the horniest game.
Yeah.
And you fuck a bear and a squirrel drops its nut because it's looking at you and anyway, you've been playing it.
Yeah.
For that reason.
For that only reason.
If you thought bear porn got it to surge, it's about to surge again.
I've played the extent of, I guess, the main quest that is available in early access.
So you get the first act out of, do we know how many?
Three, I think.
Three?
I believe, yeah.
Classic.
That classic three-act structure. I've played it. It's still a little early access-y, which is okay, but I kind of thought it would be much, much closer to completion given it's out in 3 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing they've said is that, there's like, it'll be quite updated when it actually hits release. And the early access has been going since like 2020 as well.
But it is an adaptation essentially of Dungeons and Dragons. That is the big thing. A lot of the pre-release sort of media has outlined like it is the best adaptation of the Dungeons and Dragons system to a video game that's ever happened.
Those first two were that for the time as well. I loved them back in the day.
And like mechanically, like a lot of the BioWare RPGs used that system, you know, just in the background. Whereas I think this game, I haven't played the previous two in like you know, years and years and years.
Which apparently you don't really need to for this. It's like set 120 years later or whatever. And
it's a new D&D campaign. Yeah. But like the... and so just if you don't know, it is an isometric role-playing game, action-based, where you get into combat and it's turn-based. It's very similar to all those like tactical RPGs that have come out in the past 5 or so years that we've all really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But in between, it is quests. It's walking around. It's talking to people. It's picking up items. It's trading items. It's crafting. It's...
I don't have enough fish to sell here at the market. Mm-hmm. If you could get me 11 fish.
I'll give you a ring with a +3 to dexterity.
Uh-huh.
That is the game. The writing's fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. that is a strength of it and has been, you know, with the previous games and the sort of surrounding D&D-esque games. Visually, it's fucking awesome. So, like, all the cutscenes and dialogue and stuff, it zooms into, like, a, you know, not a Fallout style head-on, but, like, a, you know, little rule of thirds, you know, you talking to someone.
Dragon Age-y.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
It, like...
which this isn't BioWare, by the way. This is the people who made Divinity Original Sin in those games.
Yes, it is. Graphically, it looks fantastic. Like, the facial animations, the detail, like, it doesn't... I think, you know, you think... you know, isometric RPG, maybe. I mean, maybe just because I've been playing them for so long. Mm. I didn't expect that level of, like, fidelity and animation and stuff. And it looks fantastic.
There's such an, you know, 20 plus years ago, they sort of fell out of favor.
Yeah.
This style. And then kind of came back in the last 8 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, definitely in my head, they're still, like, I don't know, Neverwinter Nights was, like, yeah. as good as they got.
Yep.
Because I haven't gone into these recent ones, but this is the one that's going to suck me back in.
Yeah, and so it looks fantastic. It runs okay. There's little things of, like, you know, when you go to camp, you will...
miss your parents.
Yeah.
Start crying on the first day.
People will prank you and put your hand in warm water while you sleep and make you piss the bed. And no, like, it'll sort of cut to a loading screen, then it'll, like, flash up with, like, your characters lying on the ground where you were, and then flash to, like, the, you know, so there's all these, like, weird buggy sort of glitches and stuff of, like, you didn't, like, program the loading screen to be long enough. And, you know, like, just little things like that where, knowing it's early access, I'm totally forgiving of.
Mm.
But it's there if, you know, you haven't bought it yet and you're considering it.
The save does not carry over from early access to normal.
Which I got really sucked in. I got really sucked into playing this.
If you've done
sucked
that whole...
sucked in big time.
Yeah, yeah. Like you were standing in front of a kneeling bear. But like if you have gone through that... because I've seen people say they've played one go through of Act 1 and it took them 50 hours because they did all the side stuff and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My go through was 8 hours and I just barreled through the main story, which is great. There's a lot of, you know, propulsion in the storytelling and motivation. But also just that fucking gameplay loop of, you know, get into a combat scenario, bang, 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 maybe lose, maybe reload, but, you know, go about it a different way, work your abilities in. You got to, like, yeah, manage, you know, items, you got projectiles, you got fucking magic, you got bows and arrows. Play that, and in itself is just a fun game, divorced of the setting. And then in between, it's fucking... talking to this little goblin fella who's got this little thing for you to go and do. You know, get back to town and sell a bunch of your shit and gear up. And all of that's really Moorish. And I just played all the way through the story. I got to a point where I knew that I was going to have to replay it. Right. And just couldn't put it down, basically. Like, cool. It was really, really enjoyable.
Nice. And you're not bothered by having to go and do all of that again?
No.
The second time around?
I'm looking forward to it, honestly.
Cool. And it's the sort of game as well that, like, the... first ones kind of were, and they have talked a lot about this one, where you can replay it multiple times as different classes and whatever, and different ways of doing each of those quest lines. So it's kind of built for that in some way.
Totally. It has that classic RPG thing of, like, well, you can be a dick to this person. You can lie to them and pretend you're being nice to them. You can actually be nice. You can side with this person. If you decide to, you know, like, help these people, then it cuts off a certain other storyline, or you can burn their village
you
down.
You fucked a bear. You can't come into the inn.
You can decide to persecute all furries if you so wish. So, yeah, a lot of replayability. Visually, it's great. Yeah, that sort of, you know, mechanical structure of the abilities and all that stuff is very fun. The combat's really well-tuned and challenging. I can't remember if there's a difficulty level option or not, but whatever it is, it's pretty well, it was well placed. I'm either playing on normal or it's, you know, just a flat difficulty. Yeah, I'm all in. I'm really excited for it.
Fuck yeah.
I think this will potentially be my game of the year.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it because they've been talking a big game about it, but like people love those Divinity games.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I've played two.
Right. That was the one as well that people like, holy moly.
It was fantastic.
And they're, you know, the classic Dungeons & Dragons thing is a good canvas for them. I'm really looking forward to this too. Yeah, they're talking about like, oh, it's 75 to 100 hours to finish.
Right.
Which I believe August 3rd, right?
Yeah.
The full thing's out. I'm going to wait until then, but I'm excited too.
Oh, mama.
I'm going to fuck that bear.
Oh, dear.
I've stumbled across a little game.
Do you know how you fuck a bear?
Please.
Raw.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Bears
I was going to do, before.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Here's my impression of someone talking a big game.
Okay.
Skyrim.
Oh, yeah. All right.
We've all got something in the back burner there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this
I
is
think
our
I'll
job.
Sit this one out, honestly.
Yeah, there's not a ton coming out sort of until then. Like Pikmin 4 will be good. But yeah, yes.
Well, I've been playing Pikmin 2 like you.
Okay.
I've moved on from 1 to 2, finished 1, ended up doing everything in the 30 days.
You managed to get it done?
Big relief.
He doesn't, what's he do?
If
the
you,
bad ending, he like kills himself or something? No, I'm thinking of Leisure Suit Larry.
He turns into a bear and fucks you.
Oh, that's the great ending. No, your ship explodes on the way out. But if you get all 30, you go home.
He makes it, yeah.
Challenger happy. Style. Challenger? Yeah.
You know what's funny? That I read, like, you know, you think of, you know, Miyamoto, he's given the world so much culturally. Oh, he's a genius. And then he makes Pikmin, and this is more prevalent in the Japanese, the way it's, like, written and read, but that Olimar is just the syllables of Mario shuffled around.
Oh, sure.
And
it's like...
Yeah, there's someone else's name came up as like the director at the end.
Oh, right.
Okay.
As well. So I'm not sure because
Christopher Nolan.
They definitely talked about Alan Smithy.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
who Miyamoto was definitely talked about at the time as being the.
Yeah,
person
I
Pikmin,
guess they cranked two out pretty quickly after one.
Well,
certainly
in
for...
one, the director's name is.
Oh, right.
Else.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
But then, yeah, I've gone into two.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big improvement in some ways.
Yeah.
Where like. The lack of the impending
overall
month
mind.
Limit is nice, and they replace that challenge with the caves that you've talked about of like basically just separate little dungeons
little,
that you go through.
Yeah, where time stops when you're in them, so you can just get the like puzzle done and get everything in
right.
There.
Right, and the time is meaningless basically above ground anyway because you've got infinite days. And I like getting the little emails from back home in between each one. There's a lot in there. It's still quite challenging at points. Like there are some bosses and whatever in those caves that are like pretty hard. I can tell I'm wearing myself out on it, so I'm going to pause.
Right.
Because 4 is coming out and I want to play that, but they're all great games seemingly. I'm like kind of annoyed I missed out on them all.
It really is helped in 3. From 3 on, you get like a lock on. So it makes it easier for fighting the guys where you like.
Your perspective can be a little off in 1 and 2, and like you're just throwing them a bit weird or whatever. Yeah. So
it's definitely helped by being able to just like. Target the thing because I found that with like the bigger enemies in 2 where I'm wanting to throw my little guys onto an enemy to fuck them up.
Yeah.
And a lot of them like just accidentally end up going just in front of them and get eaten.
And then they run around the like there might be one where it like rolls on its side and squashes anyone on the side and you've thrown it at their face, which is where they're fine.
Yeah.
But then they go just to the side of it and then run around right to the middle of the side to attack him. So you're whistling them back going like, fucking do what I say, man.
God, I love the whistle. I love playing a game that is like infuriating to anyone observing it where they're just like... My girlfriend's in the kitchen just constantly hearing, just like rallying my little guys around
all
me.
The time, playing Pikmin on mute.
Yeah.
And you're like.
There's that. And then there's every time you chuck him, you get him. Yep, 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 yep,
oh,
yep.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've genuinely been hearing those noises like at night while I'm going to sleep or whatever.
It's got that really cool thing where like,
little noises. I reckon there's some Pikmin in your house.
Yeah. I'd love that.
I would too.
Seeing things moving around.
Yeah.
Get out my whistle.
Yeah, go get me a bloody juice from the fridge.
Yeah, bring me, go 40 of you, go get a big Coke.
Yeah, I love the music stays consistent across all them, that little theme when you're back in your ship at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and you're doing that like vibey sort of, and yeah, the emails that you get from like your like finding out in two that Olimar has kids and they're emailing him being like, Dad, where are you?
The music in like some of the caves and stuff is great too, and sounds, and Trent Reznor plays games because he like played a lot of Doom and asked if he could do the soundtrack for Quake. And this music sounds like The Social Network in some points, like the kind of organy bits. So answer me Trent.
You think this is like the rumors for a long time that Michael Jackson had done Sonic 3 before it was confirmed?
I
for no reason. There's Reznor's not accused of anything.
No.
They're just keeping tight-lipped on it.
Yeah. He also did the music for Baldur's Gate 3, specifically I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal as well.
Oh, yes.
There he is.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's
you
one
gonna...
for the socials.
Well, not anymore.
No.
Nothing to make people go next quicker than going, that's one for the socials.
Yeah, I've been playing a game that just kind of popped up on, I think it's on everything, popped up on all the eShops called Garlic.
I'd never heard of this.
Yeah.
It's a little...
What are you, a bloody English chef?
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to make that exact same joke and then I was like, no, that'll upset my mum.
And she's on the socials.
She can't eat garlic.
Yeah, well...
Can't she?
No.
Like actual... I've got a friend who just found out they've got a garlic, not allergy, but like...
Garlic, onions, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's brutal. A health thing. I know. I know. It really... What's the point?
Truly, what's the... Yeah, my friend the other day was like, yeah, I've done this exclusion diet and I found out... Yeah, garlic, onion, they've got to go. And I'm like, that's tough stuff.
Yeah.
As long as you can still eat maybe like chili, chuck that, some spice, like
she
literal
can't.
Spice. Fuck.
She's bad with spice.
Salt. Yeah,
okay.
Salt, soy, you know, like.
Soy. Chuck a little soy on there.
Soy sauce. So I was going to just say soy sauce, but like know, soy, like miso, you know, there's some other flavors.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that's.
But not as many.
Yeah,
no. As you'd want.
You don't need any of the others if you are allowed to have garlic and butter.
Yeah,
then that's you it. Can make restaurant quality meals.
That's cooking, baby.
It's true.
By simply eating a stick of butter and a clove of garlic, cutting out the middleman.
That's the secret. That's why restaurant food tastes so much better, because they're not you observing how much you're putting into your own cooking to eat yourself.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck how much butter and salt is in there.
They want you coming
home,
back.
Yeah.
They want you happy.
And it tastes so much better at a restaurant because at home you're just eating full sticks of butter and cloves
and
garlic.
They dress it up a little bit.
Hey, chuck like this stuff called meat on there and like vegetables.
So you were playing the food stuff Garlic.
The food-based game Garlic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a precision platformer. They keep calling it.
Like Super Meat Boy or whatever type of thing, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's
put that together with garlic.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Yeah.
You chuck some Sultan Sanctuary on there. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a Pepper Ann video game at some point.
Yeah, get Cooking Mama in the room.
Yeah.
You've got something.
Mm-hmm. Boil it up.
So that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
precision platformer. You're a little garlic head boy.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to scale this tower. It's very like surface level story. That's I don't think it's quite as punishing as a Super Meat Boy. It feels And also, I never played Super Meat Boy. I'm more familiar with Celeste, which I guess is like the, you know, next evolution of that kind of idea. Mm-hmm. It feels so far, I think I'm about halfway through. It feels like slightly more forgiving Celeste.
Right.
But it's lots of checkpoints, lots of little areas where you're really having to, you know, time your jumps, do your little grabbing onto the wall, shuffle up here, work out the timing of these, you know, spinning fire mm-hmm. blades and stuff like that. But it's got this great presentation. It sort of looks like it's sort of 8-bit, sort of halfway between, like, I guess a NES and a Game Boy game. Like, it's got that sort of palette of, like, mm-hmm. an original Game Boy game that you would put into, like, the,
like,
Super
your
Game Boy.
Or whatever, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, where it's just, like, kind of three colors, but the palette is changing, you know, for every new area. So it's kind of like refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
And then there'll be these weird little sort of mini game things in between each level that might be, you know, the perspective will shift and you're sort of walking towards the screen now instead of it being a side scroller.
Oh, okay.
And you're having Ooh. To dodge things. There's a bit where you're just like running through a level and you just find an arcade cabinet and you're playing like a sort of Space Invaders-y kind of thing to unlock and get more points for down the line for this stuff you're trying to do. It's cool. It's like $20. It's like I don't know if these people have made anything before. Mm. I think they're like a pretty obscure little French developer, pretty small little team by the sounds of it.
That's so funny that a French developer's first game is garlic.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah. But it's really cool. It's got a bit of that sort of in its aesthetic. It's kind of Pizza Tower-y in the like character design and the animations and stuff. Mm. Like,
makes sense.
You know, when he hits a wall of fire or something, his head kind of like blows up and his eyes got like pop out and he does that kind of very Ren and Stimpy-ish kind of like, running around. It's fun. If you like that sort of challenging platformer, it hasn't quite gotten to that level of, like a Celeste where it did get like incredibly maddening and mm-hmm. you had to be so precise with it. And there was, like, Celeste was a lot more giving you these different abilities each time, and there was like one actual way to do the little screen that you were on.
Yes.
This is a lot more like sort of Tears of the Kingdom-y. Like, it's there and but you can sort of get around it multiple different ways, like depending on which of your skills you've kind of built up the most. Like, you can do this thing where you do like basically a ground pound that then you can push a thing immediately after and like rocket into the air and then do a dash. So if you're like really nimble with that sort of stuff, you could do it that way, or you can just sort of, you know, do your sort of wall jump and sort of time it precisely so that you're going back and forth. But it's very forgiving with the checkpoints. Like, you're never having, you know, and it like resets you immediately, so you're never having to go back too far and like, you know, lose too much progress. It really is just like, here's one screen, here's one little thing to get through.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, you hit the flag, then you're like, you know, you're on to the next bit. You've cleared this bit. But it's cool. It's like it's just the right amount of like challenge without like, I wasn't really feeling when I went into it like doing something that was just gonna be like too maddening and too frustrating. It's like a lot, it's a bit more of like a forgiving take on that kind of thing, with a cool aesthetic, and it's like $20.
Nice.
It's a
What is this on? Did you say?
I think it might be on everything.
Okay.
I'm playing it on the Switch, but
where did you hear about it?
I think I can't remember, honestly.
Okay.
I think I had seen it on the eShop, and it was kind of hard to tell if it was like worth going in on or if it was just kind of one of those shovelware-y sort of things. I think I just saw a few posts about it here and there and just went, it looks cool. And then, I don't know, just all of it. Like, it was already in my head, and then you just see one person go like, this is pretty cool. And okay, well, that's someone endorsing it. It's clearly not just something that's like, it's actually got something a bit to it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've had that thing like, you know, if you're like driving and realize like you don't remember the last 20 minutes and you're just like there, but with buying a game on the
totally.
Well, at least now
ones.
I know where I heard about it. On record.
One of those ones where you're like, I kind of can't remember how this came into my life. Mm. But no, I saw it on the eShop to begin with, and then somewhere I saw just an actual person be like,
yeah, yeah,
hey, check this out. And I was like, okay, I guess it's not. Because a few places have reported on, maybe we should do this for a video or something. There's like a dodgy Last of Us knock-up on the Switch eShop. Yeah. Did you read about this? Where it's like all of the presentation of it looks... It's like the same font.
Yeah.
It's called like The Last Hope or something. Right. Like that.
Fake Ellie standing there.
yeah. Okay.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of hard to tell if it was in that category or not. But yeah, if you're looking for, it's relatively short, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty well priced for what it is. And yeah, the style of it's cool. The music's cool. The it feels great to control. It really is that thing where he's so like quick and responsive that that thing that you need in a game like this where when you're failing, it's your fault. It's really tightly done. And yeah, it's got this cool style and little bits in there that are mixing up the formula.
Okay.
And I'm excited to kind of see. It feels like it's the sort of thing that's maybe building to like a big weird kind of thing at the end.
Right.
Even more of a twist. But it's neat.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Garlic.
That's my review of Garlic. It's probably how people felt about it when it first came onto the scene.
Yeah, pretty weird at the end there because it's kind of like, I guess, attached to this root.
It's bulb like, shooting out of the ground.
It's challenging, but not too much.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
It's sort of like Celeste. I mean, spring onions.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that, sorry. I don't know what Celeste means at this point in time.
Yeah.
Just a friend of mine, I guess.
Yeah. She just kind of smells weird.
Yeah. The sequel's got to be called More Garlic, right? You got to add more garlic.
Yeah, you can never have enough garlic.
Yeah, where do you go from garlic?
Too much garlic is the end point, I guess.
Yeah.
What about ginger?
Oh, shit.
That's a spin-off, right? I forgot about ginger.
Or the second player, like the tails
Yes, exactly.
To Sonic. Yeah,
yeah. Ginger's coming in.
Nice.
I like it.
Japan, maybe. They use ginger there more, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's us done.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff. Yeah.
Few recommendations there. Check those games out.
Is Pikmin next week? Or are we talking...
Pikmin's in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll have a couple of, sort of different episodes or whatever for the next couple of weeks.
We will. Yep.
Little holiday, but there'll still be weeks on the same days, but we're just pre-recording them.
Yeah.
So if we don't talk about Pikmin or whatever, that's why.
Yeah.
But we will.
We'll be talking Pikmin when I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm a big chance of having completed it on the plane.
I would love that if you just don't even do anything on your holiday.
Yeah.
Other than Pikmin 4.
Yeah, switch by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Pikmining it up. Fuck, I can't wait. I can't wait to just pluck some of those little bastards out of the ground.
I love yanking them out of the ground.
Yep.
Yep.
And then like having the two people in Pikmin 2 pulling them out at double the speed.
Oh, yeah.
When you get the upgrade that your whistle makes them jump out too.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa, you're Pikmining.
What I really like is I find it very funny that they probably could have found a more elegant explanation for this, but then they just settled on this. So, you're a little spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to the end of the day, it's very dangerous on the Pikmin planet that you're on, so your spaceship has to go up into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also dangerous for your Pikmin to be on the surface.
Right.
And so they have their own little spaceship they also... I love how it's not like... They don't come up with anything that's like nature-based or like something that gets them up into the air. It's like... Well, as a placeholder, we'll just say that they also have a spaceship. We'll kind of turn it into something else.
I always took it that they'd evolve their little onion to go up in because it's like a biological spaceship.
Okay.
So they like fly up at night because evolutionarily.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never got that from it.
I did.
Well, one of you's right and one of you's wrong.
They need to do how they had that big Zelda compendium book that's got the official timeline in it. We need one of them for Pikmin. Where's and it's like four times the size of the Zelda one. Going deep into it. Because, this is the other weird thing. Maybe I should be saving this for our review of 4. Mm. But this is the other thing about those games.
Okay.
Is that for all intents and purposes, it's like, oh, I've crash landed on a strange planet. And then it's like the little things you're finding. It's like, oh, shit, this is Earth.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, what are all these little fucking creatures doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, Shiggy.
Mm.
Well, that's going to do us for another week. Thank you for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au. Get onto our Patreon and reap the benefits of Giant July that we've got going on right now. We've got the video of us doing a playthrough of a bunch of games with patrons. We've got the premium Bandcamp episode that we put up.
Where they're up now.
Frankensteined. We tried to make the perfect game using separate elements from games that already exist.
Yes.
To the best element from every single game to put together the ultimate game.
Yeah. I think this weekend you'll get to watch along The Wizard with us if you find a copy of The Wizard. But we did a commentary for it.
Of the 1990...
End of sentence.
Three?
I think it might
be... Is it 90?
90. Because Mario Brothers... Yes. Oh, it's got to be like 87.
Yeah, true. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic 80s film that happens to involve the game Super Mario Brothers 3. It's an interesting watch.
Yeah.
And then we play through an FMV game for the last one that you'll get the week after. Stuff all through July.
If you want to go watch something for free, we played Time Guesser. The other week, and we've just put it up publicly on YouTube, youtube.com/filthycasuals. That's a fun.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Last game, Time Guesser.
Yeah.
And patrons have access right now to another video where we're doing a little something to Oppenheimer, a little something Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go have a look.
Yeah.
Check all that out. filthycasuals.com.au. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Baldur's Gate 3, talk about polar bear.